Welcome to The Journey. Today, I've got the privilege of interviewing Sherry Murphy, who's been a part of our team now 18 years, works in our life care counseling ministry, and has just been a wonderful pastor to our people, particularly in very difficult, challenging times of life. So, Sherry, I'd like for everybody else to get to know you.
So, one of the things that I do, because I'm one of the therapists on our team, is I do see people in therapy. And a wide range of things that I get to see people for. I sit with women. I sit with couples. I've even been able to walk with some men through some of the journeys that they've been on. And then the other piece that I do is I help with the programming on Monday and Thursday nights, the care series and the Celebrate Recovery programming. And then also I get the joy of walking with couples as they prepare for marriage through becoming one.
Wow. So what are you doing in your spare time?
Sleep.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. Well, I'm sure glad you're doing it. And it's truly become, I think, a ministry that is highly valued in this church, of course, and widely known because there are days, I think, or weeks, you think everyone in the city wants to come over and talk to you and to the other therapists. So it's a wonderful ministry. Where did this all start for you? When did you get interested in this path? Was this a call of God? You know, let's go back to the beginning of where this came from.
So when I was about 19, I knew God had called me to the ministry. But the faith tradition that I was in at the time didn't value women in ministry. They allowed us to be Bible study leaders, and that was about it, and just for women. And that was fine that was the role I was going to have. And I really didn't know what else God might have for me. And I tried a lot of different ministry positions. I worked as a campus pastor for a while. I worked at a children's home for a season. I tried a lot of different things, and nothing really fit. Until one day, my husband and I were building a shed. And the shed instructions said it'll take 3 hours. Well, on hour four of the shed still not being built, I'd gotten 3 phone calls, and my husband turns to me and said, "You're a terrible sheet metal worker, but you are great at helping people, and people feel safe, and they call you, and they ask for help. Why are you not a therapist?" And that was the day that I made the decision to go back to grad school. And so I started grad school the same time my son started kindergarten. And then God just opened the door for it to be in a ministry-related counseling practice.
I'd love to know what you were thinking in those days.
That's a great story because I really feel like it was just God just planted Ron Mon in the middle of my grad school class saying, "We have an opening for an intern." And so I came to Crossings as an intern in the counseling department. And then I have begged, please don't ever let me leave. Please just keep me till I die because I've loved it so much. It was just the perfect combination of who I was and what God had brought me to and what God had called me to. So getting to exercise this new skill of being a therapist and doing it in a local church setting was absolute everything that I'd never dreamed for. I didn't know to dream for, but if I had had to create a dream, that would have been my dream job. And so I came here as an intern, and then I just went to part-time, full-time, just have stayed ever since because I've loved it. I've loved the church. I've loved just the congregation and just being in a church that is just minded around having emotional health and mental health just has just been so valuable to me.
You know, people probably don't know or realize how difficult it is to get that degree in counseling.
We had to complete 300 hours of just sitting with people in a clinical setting or at a group, which was easily able to be done here at Crossings. And once I graduated with that master's degree, then I had to do 3,000 hours on top of that to become fully licensed. And that took about 2 years. So from the moment that I started grad school till I was licensed, it was about 5 years, I would say, before I was fully licensed and ready to go.
people have no concept of how difficult it is to go down that path.
Fortunately for me, being here at Crossings, I was able to sit with people in therapy, but then I was also able to do group work through the CARE series. And so I was able to accrue all of those hours. And then I got to graduate from grad school. And then I got to do 2 more years of working to get my license. And I'm licensed as a LPC, which is a licensed professional counselor, and then also an LMFT, which is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so that took 2 more years before I was really fully licensed and ready to go in my career.
Well, it sounds somewhat similar to people that go into med school. So there's a lot that goes into that, and I think people are not aware of that. Mm-hmm. The hard work it takes over a long period of time to get the privilege then to do what God called you to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's – I wanted to be sure people knew about that, because there's a lot of time, effort, energy, blood, sweat, and tears that goes into following God's dream for your life when it's going to be counseling.
Yeah.
It's not an easy road. But I'm sure glad – people like you do it.
Me too.
And because it helps so many people through so many different storms. And I have people come up to me all the time, and they'll mention you or Ron or Todd or one of our counselors and one of the therapists, and they'll say, "Oh, I've been seeing them for years, and it's just been." And I said, "Well, now you know I don't know that. I wouldn't know that. No one will ever tell me that. You know, just to be sure you understand confidentiality around the church. I would like our church to be sure they know the high level of confidentiality that's placed on this ministry and around the ministry, things that will never and have never been shared anywhere outside of the room where those things were first shared with the therapist.
Yeah, that's one of the real maybe differences about what we do here. There's a lot of churches that might offer biblical counseling or pastoral counseling, but we only hire people who are licensed or on their way to be becoming licensed, and then we continue to make sure that they have continuing education credits every year. Our license says we have to, but we also know that for us to stay sharp and to continue to treat the things that we are growing aware of that need to be treated, we have to do that continuing education piece. So it's not just go to grad school, get your license, and go work. It really is
ongoing.
Learn what's going on in the culture that may have to be treated next.
I know you see all kinds of pain and difficulties that people are going through, but you've also seen a whole lot of people get well.
Yes.
And let's talk about that.
Yeah, that is probably the most rewarding parts of what I get to do, is I watch people, whether it's on a Monday night for CARE series or a Thursday night for Celebrate Recovery or just in the course of walking in my office, I see people just in pain and just downcast, their souls downcast. They just don't know what the next step is. And the beauty of my job is I actually know what the next right step for them could be. And so I watch people take steps all along the way and get freed from things that have entangled them for their whole life. And I just get to watch them walk in freedom after that. It's like walking in with this heavy stone that they're carrying to the point then that they walk out just skipping, maybe not literally all the time, but just skipping with just freedom from the ways that they've been freed, whether it's mental health concerns or just their questions about God and how God might think about their mental health concerns. That becomes a large part of my job, is helping people see that God's not mad at them for things that they've done or the challenges that they've had, but how they can get free from that and then walk in a different kind of relationship with Him.
I'm so thankful that we have this ministry in our church, because I grew up in church. I think you probably grew up in church, and it was great churches. I mean, I didn't know anything would possibly be missing, I'm not saying there was something missing, but a lot of times in a church scenario, all you've got to offer, and I've been there when our church was small, some days you've got people in pain, and all I've got is, let me pray for you, or I'll do my best to listen and try to offer some peace in some way, So, and I knew early on counseling wasn't going to be my strong suit. So I had a great appreciation for it. And I'm not sure where that even started in me, that I so valued the professional, biblically trained therapist who can really help begin to untangle all that's kind of been tangled up inside a person's life. And I know the day when it happened for me, when it was a big moment for me. A young guy in our church, this is when we were 150 people, you know, and a guy came in and needed to talk to me. He just walked in, said, "I just got to talk to you." And we sat and chatted. And he was having some real struggles with some things, substance and otherwise. And he walked out of my office, and I kind of just prayed, I guess, said, "God, I did the best I knew to do, but I also know it wasn't enough. I don't have the skill set to have been able to take this young man where he may need to go." And so that started a budget item in our church budget that I can't counsel you, I would say, but I can send you to a good counselor. And so that's kind of where this all got started. And the elders of the church were so thankful that – and they were so grateful and they were so generous to give us the funds. And so this it ultimately became when what has become now Ron Mon came along, and then you and Todd Poe and others have built such a wonderful ministry, and I think it's so core to our church. And our people seem to be thankful and even proud of the ministry. Mm-hmm. Do you run into that?
I do, because it's so unique that a church says you don't have to feel shame about having these issues of either mental health challenges or just issues of sin. And so frequently, these issues are just seen as sin. And when saying a prayer of, "God, please forgive me," doesn't take care of everything, a lot of people are really left feeling they have no other option. And so to be able to say, no, there's some other steps we can do in addition to saying, "God, forgive me for the things that actually involve sin," but to just say, you don't have to have shame around these things. You're a human being having a human experience in this, and let's walk with you and find a better way for you to either behave, if it's a behavioral issue, or just let's find a way to get your brain to understand what's going on and function a little bit differently. But that is the beauty of the DNA of our church, is people feel safe in saying, mm-hmm. "I need help, I have a problem." When so frequently in churches they say, "You're the last one I want to tell that I have a problem."
Yeah. You know, and we both grew up in church, and I frequently say the days I was growing up in church, and the last place you wanted to confess anything was at church, because everybody might know about it by the time you got home, you know, for dinner. That wasn't a necessarily true statement about even the church I grew up in. But, you know, as I've said, I'm always thankful that our church is transparent. We're good with transparency. For those who are willing to embrace that and not be afraid or ashamed, and they're in a group, in a church filled with people who've all been there. And I know for me, in 1985, my parents divorced. And what got me into a counselor and started that path for me and 12-step programming was when someone asked me how my parents were doing. And I said, "They're fine." And they were already divorced. And in essence, some wonderful friend standing close by said, "You just told a lie in the church that you lead." You know, and I said, "Well, bless you today, brother, you know. Thank you so much for that nugget of truth, you know." And so he followed through with that. He was an older gentleman, and he followed through with that and introduced me then to 12 Steps. And then along with that, I realized that my parents were wonderful parents. Dad, all he could think of was ministry. And Mom wanted an 8-to-5-er, you know. And they kind of wrestled with that for a long time. But when they divorced, then I realized I need to be sure that I don't allow myself to get in a place where someday I would be willing to toss everything and end a marriage or whatever. You know, I didn't have any inclination ever, and never have, to go down that path. But I also knew I better know myself pretty well. And I think that's where it started for me. And then appreciating counseling and then getting some counseling on my own long before Ron Mon or you or Todd or anybody was around, you know. And then realizing, okay, what I've just experienced, I need to find a way for everybody to have a chance to experience it. And then here comes Ron Mon. Jeff Stewart really got it started, got his master's in counseling. And so it's just been – it's evolved into something pretty significant. So how many therapists are there in the office?
So currently we have six. We're always working to anticipate what Crossings is going to need next. But to find a therapist that would fit our DNA, that's no small undertaking as well. So we keep working on – when we can identify those people, we work to pull them in as quickly as we can.
So why is it difficult?
Because it's that balance of having good clinical skills and having a calling to ministry. Not everybody wants to work in a church as much as you and I love it.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to be here. And so to have that sense of calling of God on their lives and to be desiring to want to minister to God's people in the local church, I mean, the counselor on staff at Crossings really needs to have both of those things.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes it so effective, really. It's you know, there's counseling that you get to deal with maybe psychological issues or habits, hang-ups, and all those things, you know. But then it's always better when it's wrapped in biblical love, the love of Christ, the forgiveness. You know, when that comes with it, it's like a – I guess it's the whole picture. And you all have done that really, really well and continue to. Do you ever sit back and go – I hope they're getting this. I sure hope they make it.
I think that a lot because I see a lot of big issues happening. And one of my specialties is to work with people that have trauma in their lives. And so when somebody's walked through trauma, it can change everything about who they are. And it can especially change their view of God. They can ask questions like, why did this happen to me? Why did God not protect me from this? And I have a great compassion for that because those are really valid questions. But part of the job I feel like I'm called to do is let's deal with the traumatic pieces and then let's also start asking those questions. Let's get to how did it impact your view of God? And how do you believe God feels about you? And at the end, we're all trying to find out, does God really deem us worthy of his love? And none of us are,
right. But
he says we are. And that's the piece that I keep trying to help people understand is God says we are worthy of his love, therefore we are. And to me, that's the root of everything. And when we can catch hold of that and really hold on to it, then that's when change begins to happen. At a really deep level, not just the surface behavioral change.
Well, and it takes time,
yes.
in some circumstances, for a person to grasp it and own it and believe it.
Yeah.
That's a process.
It is a process. And sometimes there's a lot of things that stand in the way of that happening, and that's where we just have to be patient and work with all the things that bubble up first before we can get to that deeper place. But that's what really gets me excited about the work that I do, is I know eventually we can help them have a right view of God, just not a view of God.
I love the story, many of the stories of Jesus's touch in people's lives and the healing and that kind of thing. But the story of when the lady who'd been hemorrhaging for years and years and years, and she just wants to sneak up behind Jesus. She don't want to bother him. If I could just slip up and just touch his robe, and then I'll go my way. And I think that is, to me, the story of so many people who we don't want to bother somebody, or maybe we don't need anything from this person other than if I can just, he's apparently a healer, so let me just touch his garment. And I think there's so many people afraid of that.
Absolutely. They get wrapped in shame. They get wrapped in fear. And I think the power in that story is not only was she healed when she reached out and touched his garment, but he honored her and turned and spoke to her.
Yeah.
And I think for people to understand, that's what he desires to do for you too. He wants to honor you by saying, you are my child, I see you, and I want to heal you. And that's one of the beautiful things that I hope that I get to impart to the people that I walk with through their journeys is he's going to honor you. He sees you. You're not doing this journey in secret without his knowledge. He actually sees you and is walking with you through it.
What have you observed through the years that keeps people from counseling, that keeps them from taking that step that could in some way or another is going to be a pathway to healing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a couple of things, maybe more, that keep people. One is just fear of judgment, fear of telling their story, fear of not being accepted, fear of I'm too sick, I'm too broken, I'm too whatever, that I really can't be helped. That's one of the things. Shame, just a lot of shame wrap people. Shame that I did what I did, or shame that I allowed what I allowed, or I can't even believe that God allows me to walk the earth today because I'm that unlovable. Those things keep people from really reaching out and asking for help. They just don't know that they're valuable enough to be able to make that call and walk into an office and then vomit their guts out. That's what I love. I love being a vomit holder. Just vomit it all in.
I've never viewed you as a puke holder.
From now on, you know my name.
Yeah. The holder of the church vomit.
There we go.
Let's go. I forgot to ask you early in this deal. Tell me about your family.
My family of origin, my family of marriage, which
either
way
one,
you
want
to go.
Either one you want, wherever you want to go.
So I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised with parents that we were at church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. We had an internal joke that we were the people that had to lock the doors at the end because we always stayed till the bitter end of whatever. We didn't really have the keys to the church, but that's the way we acted. And I was just raised in a really lovely faith community. There was a lot of adults in that community that loved on me well through those years. Even when I probably was not all that lovable, they loved on me. And that, I think, set me up for just being ready to have my own family and create that. And so this year, I've been married for 30 years. And people say to me, what's the secret? And I say, my husband is very patient. That is my secret. Not really sure it has anything to do about me. It really has to do about he's just a patient guy. So I have two adult kids now, and that's very hard for me to believe that they're that old. And I said to someone today, they're adulting fairly well. They don't live with me anymore. They live on their own, and my son is actually married to a sweet little girl named Allie that I just love. So they're both being very independent adults now.
Well, that's good. You got to be proud of that.
I'm very proud of that. I really like my kids. They're really great. They've turned into great humans. They might have been great humans all along, but yeah. They're great humans today.
So imagine, 8,000 or 9,000 people on any given Sunday in one of our locations, and who knows how many people of that throng of 9,000, need help and counseling and therapy, those kinds of things. What would you say to that person that probably knows they need something, but maybe they're afraid or ashamed? Or how do you help someone take that first step and start the conversation?
The silly part of me wants to say to you, I don't really bite that hard. You can trust that you can come in. I'm not scary. But I think really the real answer is just simply do it. Don't stay in your pain another day longer. It is worth getting out of. You are worth getting out of that and getting the help that you deserve. And God has something that he's calling you to that's bigger than what you're now doing. And you may not be able to get to that point if you don't get some of these things out of your life. And so make that call. It's easy to get in and begin the process. It's messy, and it may not feel simple to someone, but it's very doable, and it's not as scary as people think.
Great.
I mean, in the reality, our job is to love people and just show them the next step that they need to do. And I believe that they can trust that that will happen and they can have hope for their lives. So many people are without hope today, and I would rather them just make that phone call and give themselves a little hope for tomorrow instead of really just sitting in their pain. They're worth so much more than that.
You know, I can begin to estimate the number of times I've heard someone say to me, or to Kim and I or whatever, in different settings, the best thing I ever did was get counseling. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear that. They just beam because – and they were reluctant at first. They didn't really want to do it, or they were – thought, I can deal with this on my own. I don't need somebody telling me how – you know. And that is rarely, if ever, true. And so it's just – it's really a special moment when someone – you know, graduates from sober recovery or, you know, goes through a care series and does the step studies and those kinds of things. And it's like the lights go on. Mm-hmm. And some of those at times were the most stubborn and unwilling mm-hmm. to take that first step and get help. So you have been a great encouragement to a lot of people. And hopefully people listening to this and watching this will maybe get the courage if they've been reluctant, but maybe get the courage to say, okay, I'm going to make that phone call. And truly, I don't know if this is a correct statement or not, but you have nothing to lose.
No.
There's only something to gain here. There's no downside of this step.
There's no downside of it. And people frequently say to me, I've never told this to anyone, and you've probably never heard a story this bad. And I'm like, try me. Let's see. I hope you're right. But most of the time I'm like, yeah, I've heard that a similar story, maybe not the exact one. And you're right. It is a really, really painful story. But there's hope. And I have a few ideas of how to bring some hope into your life because I get the privilege of hearing those really hard stories all the time. And I really do count it a privilege. Not everybody gets the joy of sitting in front of people and hearing the hardest parts of their life and extending some hope and extending God's love to them. And that's why I love my job so much, is that's what I get to do every day. Doesn't mean I don't get tired from it sometimes. It just means I love what I get to do because I want people to come in and tell me all the ugliness that they've had or the thoughts that they've had, because I know that there's some healing available to them.
That is just thrilling to hear you describe it that way. Mm-hmm. And hopefully those listening and watching, maybe somebody's been encouraged to go ahead and take that first step. I sure hope so.
Me too.
And I'm thankful for you and the whole team. I'm thankful for what you all do. And I guess going back to an earlier comment, you are very much called and equipped to be a pastor in ministry, and I'm glad God opened the door here for all that to unfold and have you as a part of this crazy team we have.
Absolutely, me too.
And we're not everybody's crazy, but a few of us are, and we're not ashamed to admit it.
That's right, we're not ashamed of it.